Life as a Christian can be summarized as honoring God and enjoying the creation that he's given us. And the most important is that God is raising up this house to have genuine relationships with him and genuine relationships with each other. He's raising up this house to have Let's enjoy the family of God that he has created around us and the gifts that he has given us in the Holy Spirit. The gifts that he has given us. And we're going to answer three questions. Why is God worthy of honor? How do we give honor to God? And who else? Effective. It needs to be public and it needs to be specific. It's easy to say, oh God, I honor you in your heart. That you actually try and remember the things that he's done, you remember the promises that he's done, and you're specific, I believe it has more value. A few months ago, and it happened right here on the stage, and it was after an amazing worship session that Ange grabbed the microphone and she said, I believe in the Holy Spirit, God is asking me to honor three women in the things that they had done in excellence towards the Lord. And I feel it is a good example. It is such a great example of how we should honor each other. She was bold enough to listen to the Holy Spirit to be honored publicly. But you never know where someone's at. They may need a word of encouragement. They may need to be honored. And so it's important for us to listen to the Holy Spirit, because just the perseverance and the strength and the fuel that they need to go on serving for another couple of years. It takes so little, just the mustard seed, to do amazing things in God. How about he created you? Isn't that enough just to honor him, the fact that he is our creator and he created us and he breathed life into our lungs? He made us a new creation. He did it a second time. Paul commands that we should give honor where honor is due. That's in Romans 13. And did you guys know that God, did you know that he even gave glory to us when we were born? In Psalms 8. Don't think that, oh well, there's been enough people honoring God for thousands of years. I think he's big enough. He doesn't need to be honored by us, but he's made another promise. He said that as you honor me, I will honor you. So God gives us honor. He doesn't request anything from us that he hasn't already done. So that God, by example, he created us, and then he gave us honor and glory. He says, okay, here's a taste of it. And then because it's God, you know, you can't outgive God, right? So he's like, okay, as you honor me, I honor you again. You can't outgive God. He's so good. He's so good. And this is the pivotal scripture of this morning's message. It's on the next slide. Romans 1, namely, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of this world in things that have been made, so that we are without excuse. For although they knew God to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. God wants us to keep our thinking and our hearts pure. I see honoring God almost like brushing your teeth. People are going to start to notice, and God's going to start to notice as well. While I was preparing, as I love to do, and God gave me this vision. And in this vision, there was people in this church who were standing in quicksand, but they couldn't see that they were ease. But they were standing in quicksand, and there was people in this church that were seeing them in the dangerous situation. They're like, get out of there, get out of there, you're dying, you're in danger, get out of the quicksand. And they were slowly dying. It was slowly smothering them. And they didn't realize it. The influence of lies, the shame they were carrying, they were being deceived. And they needed their brothers on the other side who could look in to help them. If that's you this morning, if you're carrying any shame or bitterness, please listen to the words of the brothers and sisters that God has put in your life. You know, it's the nature of deception in that we do not know that we are the ones being deceived. I ask that you guys give me grace and receive my words in love this morning. My heart breaks sometimes during worship. But God, declaring his name. And then the worship leader would say, all right, guys, let's just tell God words that are on your heart about how much. In the silence. And the weapon is, and our silence is goodness. There are people doing that. Remember, the most important when you're in relationships between us, that is going to be our strength. Hang out. You have things to say about your feelings, things you're upset about. Thank them. Any man can honor him. If Jesus was standing, you believe that. Well, a prophet with his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue. And they were amazed. They were amazed. But then came some familiarity. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's, aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense to him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in the miracles there because of their lack of faith. I've heard it said, in many churches, we grew up in South Africa, and now we're here in this great family of God. And I've heard it said in pretty much every church that I've been in, where they're like, God, we're crying for a revival. Bring a revival to this place. Bring the revival. Yes. Are we going to lay the foundations for that revival to come? We have a role to play. Just like the scripture I've just read. Like, Jesus is not going to have the desire to say, Lord, we invite your presence here. Come bring a revival in this church, in the city of Trail, in British Columbia, in Canada, in North America. It's good to do that, but let's honor him. Do you believe he can heal your hurts? Do you believe he can break down walls that have been built so high with reinforcements been there? I believe that nothing is impossible for our Lord Jesus. So, question number two. You guys want to just shout out any ideas? How do we honor our God? Yeah, sorry, I didn't get that one. Obey, it's good. Trust, it's good. It's good. Yeah, I believe that we need to honor him with our hearts and our lips. As I started out the sermon. But when you honor him with your heart and your lips, it costs you something. It costs you your dignity when you stand in public and then make the effort to declare. It's hard enough even to do it in a church during worship. When it's, we're all surrounded by believers and we're all agreeing with each other and encouraging one another to worship our God. Walls, like at Jaro Park at 5 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. You want to stand up and just shout out.
Love you, Jesus! I praise you! Praise your name! You're so good! Amen!
You want to go and do that at Dara Park? It's a little bit hot. So we are made in the image and the likeness of God. In Ephesians 5:1, Paul says that we need to be imitators of God. Remember, he gave us glory when we were born. And as we become believers and we're walking in the Holy Spirit, we go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. That's almost like a starting point of evangelism. You know, you can't just tell people about Jesus. You've got to carry him. You've got to represent him well. And then people will be asking you, man, Adam, what's changed, buddy? You know, you've lost all this weight. Like, what happened? Tell me. I want it. I want it, man. You know, carrying the glory of God can almost be, if you wanted to, and if I didn't want that dove to fly away, it would actually change the way that I act and how loudly I speak, you know, how carefully I walk. Be aware of it. We want to be aware of it so that we can keep it and represent God well. I believe in honor God and enjoy his creation. I believe by enjoying his creation, we actually be fully alive and we actually represent him well. He says that he is without excuse to say, God, you didn't reveal yourself to me, or I didn't know who you were. Because even if someone didn't even preach to them, God still revealed himself to them through the creation. That's a very, be fully alive. And just by being fully alive, doing your backflips on the snowboards and the skis, hey Justin, doing your big air jumps, just by being fully alive, you actually honor God, my friend. You can influence people, my brother, that are not just going to roll in here on a Sunday morning. You're going to meet them at the skate park. You're going to meet them on the mountain, on the trails. And that's the only time. The testimony of what God did in your life. Nobody can argue with your testimony, brother. There's people out there that you've got an inheritance in the souls of some of the people in this city, my brother. So, we honor God by first eliminating any sense of entitlement. And we do that by submitting to his authority. Submit to his authority is the measure to which you can carry his authority and do the good works for him. That's why worship is so important, because you bow down and by doing that, you walk out this building carrying his glory, carrying his authority. And people ask questions, where do you get that from? Well, come, I'll show you. Word. How many people react to the scripture, wives submit to their husbands? It implies that you lose your and experience their experience. It's an empowering word. It's not a disempowering word. Jesus says that we are empowered by submission to authority and through the diversity of our function. And what I mean by that is, like, I bike with him, he hits those big jumps, there's no ways I can try and be like him. So I let him be him in his uniqueness, in the diversity of his function. And I'll hear God. He's already created me unique, so I don't have my personal relationship with my Savior. I can't rely on hearing God's voice. Can't rely on hearing God's voice through my wife or even through Sean or through other leaders. I need to hear that unique word of God specifically to me, where he's going to align my uniqueness, the diversity of my function, my gifts. He's going to smack the Holy Spirit upon that. He's going to put a little bit of glory there. Go and make disciples of men. Go make me look good. And isn't that what it's all about, hey? Making Jesus look famous. Because we're in a war and there's people. We just give them the microphone and we're like, well, yeah, it's a little bit too much effort for me to kind of stand up right now. And I don't want to have like a disagreement. That's why we got to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't react the same all the time. There was times that he walked into the room and threw chairs and tables around the place. And then there was other times that he just sat on the ground and just to guide us in our actions, in our words, in our heart's response. And public worship, in my opinion, is a great measure of our hearts. You lose your own dignity in amongst the other people, even if they're all believers. But Abraham, when God told him to go and buy a field so he can bury his wife, and what was Abraham's response? His response was, no, I must pay for this. It must cost me something. So it's good. It's, oh, this is getting a little bit difficult. Or I thought it was going to be easy, and now it's, I'm going to be a little bit embarrassed. That's good. Interesting, because there's the full range of emotions. I have, you know, desire where I'm enjoying it. There's a part of me that's okay, it's a little bit scary. There's another part of me that's like, whoa, what did I just say yes to, you know? Well, is the prize. That's the prize. And it's worth the price. So submission, whereas honor is given. God doesn't take honor from us. He gives honor, so he gives the example, he gives honor to us. And then in his word he says, well, if you give, put another badge on my shirt, I'm going to take some honor from you. You know, it doesn't look right. It's not what God does. Same with submission. I don't come and make you submit. Am I right? Yeah. So that's why honor and submission, both of them are not taken, they're given. Through the spiritual blessings that he's given us. The blessings that he's given us through the Holy Spirit. When we get the Holy Spirit, the dead. Yes, thank you. I agree. And do we get the same full package? When you get the Holy Spirit, do you get the same full package that contains, or does God just pick and choose and take, oh, there's just like one little piece of it here. Or does he give you the whole Holy Spirit? Boom. The whole thing, right? Yes. That's kind of a scary word, right? I know you. So we can't, in the body of Christ, we can't be like, okay, Jason's got the word of prophecy. Okay, so we covered, guys, don't worry. Words of knowledge. Okay, guys, we covered on that one. Tick, tick. And, okay, you know, going through the list. Okay, great. Actually, everything's covered. I don't have to do anything. That's not where God's going. Of course, we have uniqueness or diversity of function. So he would give everyone every single gift. But then he obviously would give you a strength or a calling to spend all your time praying for healing from people. So we all have the potential to operate in every gift, just like God calls us all to be evangelists, you know, or to evangelize. We won't all be evangelists, and that be our title. So I encourage you, you have all received, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've received the full package. It's like God giving you the full cable TV package. When you flip channel, you might not like cooking, but you can still turn over to the cooking channel and learn how to cook a T-bone steak. You can still do it. Or it might not be your. So, third question. Who else should we? Everyone? That's the right answer, yeah? Any other specifics? Authority. It's good. So let's start with that. Honoring authority. When we give honor to an authority, we receive what that person carries. If you receive a prophet as a prophet during his doctrine or his teachings or his interpretation of the Bible, and that's it, that's what you're going to receive. But if you receive him as a prophet, you can get a prophet's reward. Two people in the same room is profound. We can say that we submit to leadership and we honor authority. Disagreement with that person, with that leader. They can only be measured when you have a disagreement with that leader. And that's the only time that someone can say, oh, you know, he still submitted with him. He still honored him. Wow. He's a good brother. You know, that's someone that that leader can rely on. Get to a crossroads where your heart, your desire is to go this way, and God says, no, do that. Go up there. Go to the top of that mountain. And in your heart, you're like, wow, okay, this is the decision point. And this is the, when you're going on a road and there's no turns, you can't really measure it because it's clean sailing. Paul was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. So we honor authorities. Leaders who excel are the only ones that are mentioned by God in the Bible to be worthy of double honor. A good manager can be described as somebody who gives three compliments, words of encouragement, for every critical feedback or criticism he gives to an employee. So we would pray for them six times, give them six words of encouragement for every complaint or disagreement or negative thing that we bring towards them. I have a friend who took over a church in Victoria, and he, you know, he leads the church. He's gone through many challenges, many struggles, paddling. It's the bicycle right in the front that takes all the wind. And then everyone behind them is sitting in the slipstream, and it's a little bit easier, a little bit easier. So our leaders, and my friend, he said to me, man, you just got to get behind your leader. You have no idea the challenges that he's facing from every different angle. And in sermon, let's measure the worship, let's measure the service. Let me decide, you know, how I feel about it. Like we want to, like, you know, almost judge him type thing. But we have no idea all the spiritual attacks that he's receiving, sweet worship to be experienced in this building or in any church. He doesn't want it. So that's why it's so important to honor and encourage our leaders. But God has given us a command and requested us to honor our leaders. So secondly, honor our parents. I think every single child has to. You don't need to agree with everything that they say. But God has asked us to honor them, irrespective of whether they're being good or bad to you. You may have parents or parents had who had like a long list of faults. And God wants us to honor them. And by honoring them, we're not agreeing with everything that they're doing wrong. We're not giving our the price to be paid. Is not going to be paid by them. It's going to be paid by us. It's a promise that God gives us, right? He says, honor your parents that the days of your life may be long. Honor your parents, even after they die. Honor your parents. When somebody asks about, you know, your parent that may have passed away, represent them well. Even if there was 100 things, something that they stood up for. Yeah. Thank you. Honoring our spouses. For me to hear, like when I go to a barbecue, you know, with whoever, whether it's people from work, friends, it's very common for us to hear people bad-mouthing their spouses. You know, because you're doing life ace with public friends around, and even behind their back. And man, that just grates me. It just grates me. There's only value in doing that privately, or maybe that's about the only time that there's a value in bringing out these issues. But doing it in a public sense, remember how I said honor is powerful when it's public and specific? It's cutting deep. And there's only a limited amount of times that any person in this whole world can take public insults like that. Everyone has a breaking point. We've always done that. You know, if I didn't do that, she'd be like, oh, you're not being yourself. Well, I don't know. I think if you really, like, dug deep into her heart, you know, when I look at her face when he says that, like, some people may think that they're being holy because they're keeping the Ten Commandments. They haven't committed adultery. They haven't murdered. But God measures our hearts, right? And when Jesus came and he brought the new covenant, he raised the bar. He says, lustfully, that's the same as adultery. And if you're angry in an unhelpful way, he just said anger. But obviously there's times to be angry, but it's got to be a spouse. That can be the same as murder. So in grace, our heart's motives are measured. Some people had the opportunity. Maybe in their heart, they actually would like to or are just wanting to get out. But they could say, I'm holy because I haven't committed adultery. But actually in their heart, they would actually like to. This empowers us to honor our spouses at a higher level. Let's honor our spouses with the thoughts that we choose to entertain and the thoughts that we choose to disregard. And lastly, honoring others. Honoring others. This one can be difficult as well. It's almost harder to honor a loved one, a close. People wait until the end of someone's life to stand up and publicly tell everyone what a great person they were. I don't know why. We have an opportunity every day. You have an opportunity to pick up the phone and, hey, I just want to tell you that I love you. I'm just proud of you for what you've done here, for leading your family well. God can do amazing things just through a simple word of encouragement. You can heal. It's profound. So we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead our actions and our words with each other. Mature in Christ and help them get over an issue. Like, why can't you see it? Get over the issue. Or, you're in the sinking sand, get out, come on. You know, sometimes we can be of what we're actually looking for. So we have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. We have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead our hearts, lead our words, so that he can use us. Child to beating the child in anger. Peter writes to the church. That includes your enemies, because there's a full stop and there's no exceptions there. And sometimes God can use the fact that you honor an enemy as a tool to soften their hearts. Into what God is doing in your heart and what he wants you to tell and ask you to say. Like somebody throws an insult at you, you give them love and honor, and then that's it. You don't defend yourself. And they just walk away being like, okay, what that? Tell me what happened in your life. Like, how are you able to do that? And there's an opportunity to represent God well. You got, and there's those opportunities for us to represent God well, and then somebody else can come, ask the simple prayer, you know, ask a simple question. Hey, have you ever given your life to God? And the person be like, no. It's Paul who said, like, one person plants, another person waters, another person comes and harvests. Yeah, that's why we are the family of God. So, with them, or if they're offending you, to check your own heart. If that person is a believer and has gone off the rails, you know, whatever it may be, whatever sin it may be, whatever it's gone into, you should still fear God, fear the Christ that is in them when you address them. And that'll help you keep your Christ that's in them. And that can be the same when you're talking about another church. So easy to be like, oh, this religion, this denomination, oh, they, you know, we have this, they don't have that. It's so easy to do that, but you got to be careful because you got to fear the Christ that is in them. So, and this is actually a sermon that I listened to, one of the first sermons that I ever listened to on a tape or a CD, and the pastor kind of led me through this, and I was like, wow, that was a great value. So what I want you to think about, be offending you or has offended you, or you've had a disagreement with, just think of one person or one thing. And now think specifically you. You guys got a nice picture of it now? Are you feeling it? So now ask the Holy Spirit, what is he going to teach you about your own heart? What is God teaching to you about the way your heart is reacting in that situation? It might take some time. And maybe you can go home this afternoon. And I remember when I listened, this person, this person, this person. And then list the things, you know, things that I'm angry about, things that I felt dishonored by that person. And then the difficult part is the column three. Okay, Lord, what are you teaching me? Make it into a teachable moment. God can take anything and make it a teachable moment. His word says that he can take something that's bad and bring good out of it. So one way to do it, because there can be sometimes two sins done, right? Somebody sins against you, and then you sin straight back against them. And now it's just like one wrong against another. Go home. Do it today. If you don't do it today, you won't do it. Write a list of the people that are offending you, what they've said or done to offend you, and then just sit quietly in the Holy Spirit. Just wait. Find yourself even honoring God for bringing that person into your life, because it's taught you how to stand up and fight. You might even find yourself going to that person and honoring them. And honor them for that growth opportunity. You never know. I believe that God is raising up this house to have genuine relationships with God our Father. And he wants to do that by replacing flattery or not in terms of the words and their actions. Excellent job of being genuine fellowship, genuine friendship, genuine kindness against, you know, some people that walk in here that, you know, are not clean, some people that are doing an excellent job. And God's going to use you to help influence everyone to be an example. But I'm sure you guys can picture, it's difficult for someone who is genuinely in love with God. It's difficult for them to remain in that family if the other people are not responding to them in the same way. So this is why it's important. Like we all influence and affect each other. It's like a basket full of fruit. You know, you have. So it's important that you can't just think that, oh, my sins or, you know, my pornography or whatever it may be is not affecting anyone else in this family. Christ, to be imitators of God. Because, like I said last time, like we are part of each other's inheritances. So it's difficult also for a new believer. Like a new believer, they get born again, and then they're just like, whoa. Like they get exposed to maybe the politics or, you know, people who are not being genuine towards them. And they're just like, okay, I've tasted and the relationships here I'm not like not exactly aligning to this God that I've just met, and then they don't connect with the family. It's important for us to press on, This is something that we are going to excel in Gateway. And this is something that we are going to be known for in the city. Genuine relationships to Him and genuine relationships to our Father. And honor is one of the building blocks of relationships. It's a building block. And that's how God is going to help you allow this church to build genuine. How has He spoken to your heart this morning? I'm going to do a U-turn and go around because it's too difficult. Like, no one does that. When a doctor gives you a course of antibiotics, he wants you to finish the course. And I believe that's what God is saying. Your emotions or your fear change your direction or your decision. If you get into something that you don't like, push through. Maintain relationship. Maintain relationship, opportunity, or it can just be another time that you just divert and then let go of all those friends and then, okay, let me find whatever the case may be, like a new church or a new group of friends so that, because they don't know anything about my issues. And maintain relationship, guys, even when things get difficult. Pastor challenges somebody with a person, with a, like a topic or like an issue, their first instinct will be just to leave as opposed to facing their giants. We sung about it this morning, facing our. So, who of you in your heart feeling that, man, I, in a public sense, if everyone can just close their eyes, I'm just leading the Holy Spirit. I'm on that roller coaster. I can't get off halfway. So if everyone can close their eyes. Lord Jesus, I ask that you speak to every single person's heart right now, them to honor, whether a family member, parent that they've never honored, a parent that may have even died that they haven't honored, or if they just want to honor you, Daddy, our Father, because you are, thank you, Father, that you are built. If you feel that's you, then there's just two sentences, specific sentences that you want to honor somebody, not a long story, just two sentences. If you feel that's you, I just want you to quickly come to the front and make. Doesn't have to be in your life or publicly honor someone in this room. Even if it's a spouse or a parent that have done 100 things against you that are wrong, come and honor them for the one thing that they do well in their lives. If you honor someone for something that they're doing well, they actually seem to do it more and more often. If you praise a spouse for something that they're doing well, they'll keep doing that and they'll keep asking, just come to the front and just face the congregation. Yeah, thanks for your boldness, Gary. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your boldness. Who else wants to come up? Who else call up? I'm serious. Yeah? Okay, I received that. Thanks, guys, for your boldness. You want to come? No? Okay. You don't have to sit on the microphone. Thank you for your boldness. Good job. All right, guys, stick to the person and what it is.
I'd like to honor my mom and my dad. I've always talked a lot of negative for the years through everything that I've done, and still loved me through it all as well. So.
Can I say anything? Okay. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. You've shown on through your actions.
I'm going to have any credit for that. And I also want to honor my wife today, who is also very generous with her time. And she forgets how much she loves children, will care for anyone's children, and reminder how much a blessing it is to every other parent who she's helped with their children.
This morning I'd like to honor, but I also see the good that she's instilled in me. Just in the strength that she's given me to be myself and to be bold in that. And I'd also like to honor my father, just for allowing me to see the...
I just want to honor my heavenly, the amazing God that he is. I heard something this morning that just blew my mind, that I've heard it so many times before, but it impacted me, that he loves me the way I've blown it in some areas in my life in the past, and the victory that he's gave me. And in spite of just the fact when we think we're hiding in a dark room and he can't see anything that's going on, that he sees everything and he still has loved me through it all. He's never abandoned me. He's never forsaken me. That, you know, that just totally blows my mind. It doesn't matter how much we've fallen and failed in the past. He's always reached his hand out to us and said,
This is hard for me, but I just want to honor my ex-husband. When their car broke down and they brought he brought them to our house in the rain, that they may be sheltered while their car was being taken care of.
My ex-husband, whom I'm actually still married to him, but we've been separated for 13 years, for being a wonderfully faithful provider for our children. Very consistent.
Honor my children. Though they're brought up in a very dysfunctional home, they still love us and sometimes thankful for it.
I want to honor my mom and dad. They're great parents. They passed away until you preached it today. And sometimes I haven't honored my father because of past things. And I should. He was a loving father. So he turned out to be a pretty good dad, and he accepted the Lord just before he passed away. So.
Yeah. Wow. Come on, guys. Let's give these people. It's awesome. Awesome. You know, the devil fears a redemptive heart. When someone has, you know, been in a struggle and there's a redemptive heart, he fears that because of what God can do through that person. Take it slow, don't worry, I'll wait. And if there's anyone else, come. This is an opportunity that's going to pass away when you get home.
He always stands up and does an amazing job as a father. He didn't have a great father in the family he was born to, but he a good father, and to love his children the way his father was never able to.
I just want to honor Brandon. Easy to stand up in front of a church if you're not the pastor, right? and to speak the truth of what you feel God's saying. Well done, babe. You did well.
First, my father. Oh. Okay. First, I want to honor my father. He's passed away, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk about him, how he brought us up in Christian home. My parents, my mom too, they brought us up in the Lord. After he gave his life to Christ, he was in until the time of his death. And I'm so grateful for having him as a father. And also for my mother, she has visited us last year, and she kept the. So I want to honor both of them. And also my wife. Ever since we married, I've been most times out working, you know. I left her in Nigeria to Canada. I've not been around most times work, and each time I come back, it amazes me how she keeps everything together. And I want to use this opportunity to honor her.
Let us give everyone else an amazing round of applause, because they've been so bold to come. I mean, these guys have spoken publicly. They might not have spoken on the microphone publicly in years, but they've come and done it this morning. That's a difficult thing of what they've just done today. It's massive. All right, guys, we have one opportunity now to stand together and honor our God, our Father, together. And let's do it with our full hearts, with our voices together. Thank you. Take it away, guys.